What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. A reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. You are listening, as I mentioned, to the Pack-A-Day Radio. My name is Andy Herman. We are excited to talk to the one and only Tyler Brook of the 33rd team. You can also find him on the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find him on social media at Tyler D.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brooke, Tyler, my friend, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. I'm sorry we could not connect after the wild card game, but always happy to chat with you, bud.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic. I'm excited to get all of your amazing takes on where this Packer team is at this very moment. Before we get there, just kind of some breaking news that's really good news for at least a current Green Bay Packer. Not sure how much longer he's going to be a Green Bay Packer, but per Jeremy Fowler, Packers center Josh Myers is amazingly all good after what looked like a severe leg injury suffered Sunday in Philly. Per source, Myers has swelling, but no other issues, set to enter free agency in good shape. So that's a really cool takeaway from him. I'll let you touch base on that in just a moment as well, but Tyler, as you go over that, I also want to just know what your biggest takeaway was from this Packers loss. I'll let you go in any direction that you want.
Yeah, first off on Myers, just, you know, obviously thrilled to see that he's okay. That looked like a devastating injury, and you know, he's about to get paid this offseason. Don't know if that's by Green Bay, but just relieved for him. I never want to see a player whose contract is expiring to go into 2025 with their future uncertain, so very happy for him.
Agreed.
As far as takeaways from the loss, I mean, weird game that kind of got out of control before you can even have a kind of script. And then, you know, expectedly, Packers fans kind of had a bit of a meltdown after the loss. But I actually came away, you know, somewhat encouraged, at least by the defense. I thought the defense was phenomenal the entire game against one of the top units in football. And then the offense sputtered. And, you know, I'm sure we'll dive into more about why that is and what the issues are. But that doesn't mean that Jordan Love's a bust and, you know, they need to move on from him or anything like that. In fact, I actually think that this offseason there's very clear needs that can be addressed to make this a real Super Bowl contender in 2025.
Ooh, I'm excited to talk about that as well. Let's get to those needs in a moment, but I want to start with those sputtering moments on offense for Jordan Love. Matt LaFleur is the play caller, the offensive design, some of the offensive line issues, the wide receiver issues. I'll let you start anywhere, again, where you want to go here with the Packers offense, but what was to you, the biggest symptom of what's going wrong here in Green Bay and why they just could not kind of get clicking at the end of this season?
Yeah, so my biggest concern going into this game was obviously Christian Watson goes down. And he was their biggest beater in man coverage, right? Like, you know, the passing game hasn't been great. Jordan Love hasn't been healthy at times. You can see the potential. But really, when it came to man coverage, you know, it was just chuck it to Watson and let his speed win for you. When he goes down, I have the numbers right here. He was far and away their best against man coverage. He averaged 3.38 yards per out run. As far as the rest of the starters against man, Romeo Doubs was at 1.6, which is slightly, like, you know, it's basically average. No one else was below above a yard a route, which is just not what you want against man. And so once teams start figuring that out, you know, you can play press, you can send pressure, you can rely on guys to win one-on-one on defense, and it becomes a real issue for you. So that was my concern going in. Then obviously the injuries just derail everything. You don't realize just how good Elgton Jenkins is until you don't have him. For some Packers fans, Travis Glover plays, what, 2-3 drives, draws 3 penalties, was just horrible. Kadeem Telford didn't do much better. It was just kind of a mess on the offensive line and just kind of was a glaring miss. Jordan Morgan, Andre Dillard's out. Suddenly there's no offensive line depth, and it just totally crushed everything they were trying to do in the passing game.
Yeah, it really did. It was funny. I was talking to Justice Mosqueda for today's Pack-A-Day podcast, and we were talking about the different contracts and of like, are any of these contracts good? And is like, is even Elgton Jenkins' contract good? And I'm like, in general, I agree with you, but I'm like, Elgton Jenkins might have earned himself an extra $30 million per year just based on how things went when he was out of that offense. I think I gained a larger appreciation for Elgton in this past game than anything else. But yeah, it was that left guard position on the whole in that game was not great. And I think there are a lot of different circumstances. It reminded me a little bit, you know, when Jordy went down for Aaron and they just didn't have the receivers who could beat press man on the outside, and teams kind of quickly figured out that they could play single high safety. They could press on the outsides. The receivers weren't getting off of it. They crammed the middle of the field. They stopped the run. At least Green Bay in this situation has a Josh Jacobs who can still find ways to be successful running the football. But it really, even for Aaron, even in his prime, really kind of jammed things up and made it difficult for him to throw the football when that happened. And they just didn't have the receivers to do it. It did feel somewhat similar to that, where there just weren't a lot of great places to go with the football. I think Jordan clearly needs to be better, footwork, accuracy, timing, all those sort of things. But it did feel like there wasn't always a lot of places to go with the football either.
Yeah, and I definitely don't want this to sound like it's all defending Jordan Love, because he didn't play well. But I also think that's just going to come with, you know, inexperience at the position, and, you know, all of a sudden you're being thrown into the fire without, you know, your best version of your offense, right? So I think the arguments that, like, you know, he's the GOAT versus he needs to be cut, it, obviously the truth is somewhere in the middle. I still think he's a very good quarterback, and I just want to see what he can do in the playoffs again when it's a fully healthy team with ideally some, you know, building around him this offseason.
And ideally, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was a shameless plug, but I did write about that kind of idea for the offseason over at the 33rd team for anyone that wants to check it out.
We are all for the shameless plugs, my friend. Plug away anytime that you want. And yes, definitely go check out that article. And you'd also like a fully healthy Jordan Love. And I don't know how much it factored 100%. In. Maybe it was none. Maybe it was a lot. It's always hard to say, but you would still ideally like a fully healthy Jordan Love going into the playoffs as well.
Yes. I'm not convinced he was fully healthy. Obviously, the elbow was a concern. Who knows if the knee and groin bothered him throughout the year? I mean, these are things we'll probably never know the answers to, but like, guy got banged up a lot this year.
Yeah, he definitely did. I want to talk a little bit more about that Jeff Hafley defense. Again, we're being joined by Tyler Brook. You can find him on the 33rd team. Find that great article about Jordan Love out there today. But Jeff Hafley's defense came with, I felt like, pretty close to his A game, especially from a Jeff Hafley standpoint. Even when Green Bay got beat, it felt like there were players in position to succeed and sometimes just couldn't execute, which is going to happen against a good Philly offense. But it felt like Jeff Hafley was really well prepared for this Eagles team and put the defense in a position to be successful.
Dude, I absolutely love Jeff Hafley. I can't stand anyone that has a bad thing to say about what this scheme is doing. A first-year defensive coordinator who's switching the scheme, which I think is an important thing. You know, you're going from a 3-4 base to a 4-3 base. The personnel he has on this roster is not the ideal state of what he wants for the scheme he runs. They finished top 10 in DVOA this year by defense. It's an aggressive style. Everyone complained about Joe Barry being way too conservative, especially on third downs. This is the complete opposite. It's a team full of incredibly fast, explosive downhill play style in the secondary. The problems are, you know, obviously the pass rush is an issue. I think they addressed that this offseason. The cornerback room is just incredibly thin. But, like, from a scheme perspective and, like, the things you see from it, I loved all the blitzing. I loved how aggressive the DBs played. Like, it's just this. And then obviously you unlocked a rookie linebacker in Edgerrin Cooper, who looks like a freaking future superstar in the position. I don't even think that's hyperbolic.
That guy
is so fast. He just cleans up everything. He's instinctive. He's aggressive. You can tell he loves what he does. I'm so excited about the future of this defense, especially this offseason. I don't think they have to do too much. I don't think they have to break the bank. I just think they need to find the right scheme fits, even if it is, you know, veteran players on short-term deals. And then suddenly you can see what the full potential of this defense is. I can't wait. This might be actually the backbone of a contender.
I totally agree with you, which it feels crazy to say.
I would
assume that, and you were kind of touching base on it here just a little bit, Tyler, but I would assume that you would agree from a talent standpoint, there are some deficiencies when it comes to pass rush and when it comes to, you know, especially the cornerback position that would limit Jeff Hafley. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the pass rush is probably my biggest concern. I know corner is going to, you know, end up being a pretty big need here soon, especially with the future of some of these guys. But, you know, I don't think Rashawn Gary is bad. I just don't know. It's going to take him some time, you know, from different alignments of learning how to rush the passer the way they want him to. But Lucas Van Ness didn't take the step forward people were hoping. And, you know, ideally, he's a perfect 4-3 defensive end with his size and play strength. And then just the depth kind of fell off a cliff after those two. I liked what I saw from Britton Cox. But again, at the end of the day, that's a UDFA from a couple of years ago. You've got Enagbari, you know. He had some flashes, but he's just not the consistent player you'd hope to be a starter or even a number two guy. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest issue, and it makes things so much harder regardless of playing corner. You know, you could be an all-pro cornerback, but if you're playing man and the pass rush isn't getting home, you see that on the first touchdown on Sunday. Jalen Hurts has, like, what, almost 7 seconds in the pocket and delivers a wide-open touchdown. Like, you can't blame the secondary for that when the pass rush can't get home.
Yeah, and I think that's what is so impressive to me about Jeff Hafley is there are clear deficiencies, and I don't even think he got to really play his preferred style of defense throughout a good chunk of the season.
Right.
And, you know, he couldn't really go man. Like, he had to change up how this team operated based on the tools that he had. And one of the things that immediately stood out to me in the press conference, everyone was talking about how he was going to be aggressive and how he was going to play more man-to-man coverage and things like that. Those were never the things that stood out to me in his initial press conference. What stood out to me was how he mentioned that how adaptable he was going to be. It was going to be dependent upon what players that he had available to him, what the other team was trying to do, how, like, all of this was going to factor in as to how they were going to try to play defense. And the thing that stood out to me most was the fact that I don't think he got to play his preferred style of defense. He had deficiencies with pass rush. He had deficiencies at corners and certainly not always being able to play man-to-man coverage the way that he would have liked to. And this is still the jumps that he made in every different category. In points per game, Green Bay improved points per game allowed from 10th to 6th, yards per play 20th to 5th, DVOA 27th to 7th, EPA per play 24th to 4th, yards per game allowed 17th to 5th, takeaways 23rd to 4th, yards per carry 22nd to 3rd, passer rating 25th to 9th, and tackles for loss 22nd to 5th. I mean, just across the board, a massive improvement everywhere with not the tools that he necessarily needs in a first year, changing from a 3-4 to a 4-3. I mean, it is hard to overstate or understate, whatever way you want to look at it, just how impressive he was this season for Green Bay.
Yeah, but fire Jeff Hafley, right? Like, that's the comments that we keep getting. He might already be my favorite coordinator, offense or defense, the Packers have had in a long time. And I know that's saying a lot, but just, you know, the overall scheme change, it was everything Packers fans were clamoring for as far as, like, the aesthetics of a defense. So to see that combined with, you know, hitting an absolute home run in a first-team All-Pro and Xavier McKinney in free agency, and then another home run on Edgerrin Cooper, who I'm going to flex a little bit, Andy, was hyping him up months before the draft. And the fact that Packers landed this guy, and he's a stud, I'm that boy fast. That's all I got to say about him. I continue to be blown away, like, just by how instinctive he is. That's kind of the thing that's blown me away more than anything. It's just combining that speed with knowing where to be has really unlocked just how dominant he can be.
Yeah, you might have to upgrade that from just fast to incredible. That boy incredible is I think where we're trending in that conversation. He's been above as advertised, and his future is incredibly bright. And when we talk about, you know, this team needing star performers, guys that can really elevate this team to another level, they may have went out and got three of them really in one offseason in in Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, and in Edgerrin Cooper. It's, again, it's still very early. I don't want to put too much expectations on Cooper quite as of yet, but all the signs are right there. And even Evan Williams, too, looks like a really great player for this defense. Some big-time improvements, and I'm excited to see what Goody goes to as well in finding players that specifically fit this Jeff Hafley defense this upcoming offseason. Again, we're being joined by Tyler Brook, 33rd team, and of the Packaday podcast. You can find him on Twitter, at Tyler D. Brook. All right, you mentioned some of those needs for Green Bay. As far as you look at it, when, you know, putting your Brian Gutekunst shopping cap on here, what are Green Bay's biggest needs, and how would you address potentially those needs?
So if I'm trying to be like optimistic, I really only think there's four that can make you a contender pretty quickly. That being said, they're pretty significant needs. If I'm going to rank them, you know, number one, I think we just talked about, is that pass rush. So I'm just going to gloss over that one. I know we got other stuff we want to talk about. Number two, I'm putting receiver. I doubt Christian Watson is back in 2025, even at the most optimistic. You know, he's not playing until the tail end of the year, right? So we got that. Who knows what, you know, I think Romeo Doubs is back, but that last concussion just made me sad, man. So we'll see what happens there. And then again, we just talked about the lack of man beaters. So I think you go after both a veteran free agent. I have a hot take if we want to talk about that later. And then draft someone, I think, relatively early. They love those day two wide receivers. I got a couple in mind. After that, I think you go corner. It sounds like Jair's time in Green Bay might be over. I'm very sad about that, you know, just from the personality and the play style and everything he's done over the years. That would, you know, really stink. But I think, you know, that can be a need. Again, they have the cap space. I think they can go after the same strategy there, veteran. I think you push for a veteran that's pretty expensive, maybe one of the top of market guys, to replace Jair and then draft another guy fairly early. I think that can really fix that awfully quickly. And then offensive line depth. I know Jordan Morgan's going to be back. Obviously, I think Elton's isn't super long-term, but you're losing Josh Myers, and, you know, who knows what's going to be the starting five on the offensive line. Whatever they want to do with offensive line, I trust them. This is probably one of the best franchises as far as signing and developing guys at the position. So, you know, every time I complain about offensive linemen, the Packers take or get excited, you know, just I trust them. They know what they're doing compared to a lot of the franchises I have to watch.
All right, you had me at, you have a hot take. Now I'm, all I can think about is I want to hear your hot take of what they could do at wide receiver.
Okay. So, the New York Jets could save $30 million in cap space by releasing Devontae Adams this offseason. He only has an $8 million dead cap by cutting him, just outright. This is like pre-June 1st, all of that. They have no incentive to keep Devontae Adams if they don't keep Aaron Rodgers, and they're embracing a rebuild. Let him go. And let him come home. The Packers have, what, $63 million in cap space. He's not going to command top-of-market money anymore. He is still incredibly effective against man coverage. Plus, he'd be the perfect mentor to Dontavian Wicks, who is going through the same early career drop struggles that Devontae had in his career. Come home, Devontae. I don't think it's a hot take, and I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility.
I am right there with you. I am all in on it. I think it makes actually a ton of sense for both sides. Devontae gets to go back to Green Bay where he kicked things off, where he's familiar, where he's comfortable. He obviously, you know, even though it wasn't as a starter, he's familiar with Jordan Love. They were here together. And it resets the wide receiver room, right? You have Devontae Adams go right to the top of that wide receiver depth chart. You know, we'll see what happens with Dobbs and potentially Watson of when, where they can play, how they can play, et cetera, is kind of that number two. Reed goes into that slot, you know, wide receiver position where we know he can thrive and be really good, especially when teams are maybe focusing on Devontae Adams. You've got Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs. And then again, you've got a Dontavian Wicks coming off the bench, or even if it ends up being Adams, Wicks, and Reed, while, you know, Dobbs and Watson figure things out, everything just sort of clicks into place after that. And I'm with you. I think it's going to be a big contract for Devontae. I think you probably look at like a 2-year deal where this Green Bay window is wide open right now. And that, you know, Devontae's still very much, I think, a phenomenal player. We saw that with the Jets and even limited playing time this year. So I'm right there. I think this makes a ton of sense for both sides.
I mean, plus I still think you could go and draft another guy that's a man beater. Someone I'm just going to keep talking about. I didn't shut up about Edgerrin Cooper last year. This year, it's Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas, we just declared. Every time I watch him, I'm blown away by how much different stuff he can do. Like, he wins with speed. That's probably his number one trait. But the body control, the contested catch ability, the deceleration, the route running, the sharp cuts, the plays after the catch, And he's right near those thresholds that the receivers, or Packers receivers, are. He's 6 foot, 195. Think he could bulk up a little bit. I am blown away by that kid's tape. I think he will be a legitimate contributor right away in the NFL.
All right, I have two super, super quick ones. You can just tell me what you think on both. Yeah. Bears head coach, who's it going to be, and who's your Super Bowl pick?
All right, Pete Carroll on the Bears. I just think power structure, everything like that, a guy that, you know, isn't going to be high maintenance, isn't going to try to ruffle feathers, and is just going to be happy to have another coaching job. Plus, I think it's a solid culture fit. Give me the Ravens for the Super Bowl. They were the best EPA per play on dropbacks and designed runs this season. The defense has really come together. Their pass rush is dominant. Kyle Van Noy is immortal. Nate Wiggins, for how small he is having a great rookie year alongside Marlon Humphrey, and then you have Kyle Hamilton on the back end. That's just a loaded team, and Lamar Jackson's my all-time favorite college football player. So I think I'm a Ravens fan going forward, but I think Bills-Ravens is going to be the game of the playoffs. I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, it feels like a Super Bowl matchup this week. And I don't know that like the rest of the slate is all that great, but I'm still excited for it. But Bills-Ravens feels like a Super Bowl-worthy matchup. I'm excited for it. Tyler, you're the absolute best. I know you mentioned the Love article. What else you got coming out on the 33rd team, and anything else you want to plug on the way out?
Yeah, so I did a Packers mock draft as well. You can take a look at that. I do not shut up about Matthew Golden. That'll be my agenda for the next few months. So he is in that mock draft. Take a look at it. We also have a D end in the first round going in that mock, so make sure to take a look at it. Currently writing about Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy, what to do with that situation. And I don't have anything else. We kind of play it by ear the rest of the way. But there'll be plenty of draft coverage forward going forward. You can follow me at Tyler D. Brooke. That's B-R-O-O-K-E on Twitter. Appreciate it, Andy. It's always good chatting ball with you, man.
Likewise, you're the absolute best. Again, follow him on Twitter at Tyler D. Brooke. And again, over on the 33rd team. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phones and the text line on the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250. Again, the question I want you to answer is, Jair Alexander going to be back in 2025? It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.